Chapter 22.
The walls around me were made of stone, just like the walls in the Elf King's dungeon. Only this time I wasn't in a cell. I was in some sort of cage, and I was much smaller than the dragon I'd been before. Still, I was sure this was the palace. I couldn't tell exactly how large I was, but judging from the stones on the wall, I knew I had to be a baby, and I was overcome with fear, sadness, and hunger. I'd never experienced hunger before as a dragon, and it took me by surprise. That wasn't a feeling the other dragons had been focused on, but this little baby, he was hungry, and I could feel it. All he wanted was his mother, and my heart broke a little bit as I looked through his eyes. The room smelled the same as it had before, musty and earthy, with the faint scent of that strange smoke they'd thrown at me when I'd been in the cell. I glanced around frantically, and as I did, I realized I could hear little squeals and squawks like the ones I'd heard just earlier. There were other baby dragons here. Three others, to be exact. There was a small green dragon in the cage next to me. I couldn't see its eyes because they were squeezed shut as it tried to make itself blend into the back of its cage, but its scales were definitely green. Then there were two other dragons to my right. One was a deep orange color, and it was a little bit larger than the rest of us. The baby reptile laid at the back of its cage with a sad look on its weary face, and the poor thing had obviously been there longer than the rest of us. The final dragon was a deep purple color, and it was as small as I was. The creature quivered, and its whole body visibly shook in terror as it pressed itself against the bars of the cage. I looked around the room and saw a wall lined with eggs of all different colors, and I wondered why the Elf King would have eggs. I didn't think he could hatch them like I could, so what was the point? Did he keep them for sport or as trophies? Master was right. He was not a good man, and I doubted he was a good king either. Any man who would do this to dragons or any animal was no man at all as far as I was concerned. I pushed past the constant fear the little dragon felt and tried to focus on anything it saw that I might be able to use to try and save it. We were in a large room, and underneath the eggs was a huge desk filled with papers and books. A tall, wide wooden door sat at either end of the room, and there was a small fireplace between us and the desk. Nobody was there, but as I continued to try and find something we could use to help us get the dragons out of the Elf King's palace, I heard footsteps. I was immediately overcome with a new wave of fear, and the little dragon scurried to the back of the cage and tried to hide again. It squeezed its eyes shut so I couldn't see anything, but I could still hear the footsteps as they drew closer. The sound of a door creaking startled me, and I glanced up to see a male elf with long black hair enter the room. He had sunken eyes with high cheekbones that made his face look gaunt, and he pulled a long cart behind him. The wheels of the cart squeaked as they went over the stone floor, but the little dragon squeezed its eyes closed again. After a second, though, a loud cry of pain caught the dragon's attention, and it looked up again. On top of the cart was a large metal cage, and inside it was the dragon I'd been just a day earlier. It was out of its cell, but it clearly wasn't free, and I wasn't sure if this was better or worse than the dark room it had been in. I hadn't been able to see anything of the dragon in the darkness, except its tail, and even then I hadn't known what color it was. But here, in the firelight, I could see it was a light blue dragon with white eyes. I wasn't sure how I knew exactly. Maybe it was because I'd been inside its mind. But I was positive it was the same dragon from my dream.
"Keep your mouth shut!"
the elf yelled, and he spun round and banged on the bars of the cage. The light blue dragon in the cage let out another cry, this time of fear, and when the elf raised his hand again, the small dragon I saw through pinched his eyes shut so tight I was shot back into my body. I gasped as I opened my eyes and found myself on my hands and knees. My nails were coated in dirt, and I saw the girl's feet in front of me, along with Bla, Inga, and Ufe. The little blue dragon had his head cocked to the side as he eyed me curiously. Inga cooed and walked over to rub her head against my shoulder, and Ufe nuzzled my hand gently.
I'm okay.
Rath!
Kaas exclaimed, and she put both hands on the side of my face.
We were worried. Are you okay? What did you see?
I saw the dungeon again,
I said, and I was bewildered and horrified at what had just transpired.
Were you seeing through the same dragon?
Asta asked, with wide eyes full of surprise, as she leaned down next to Kaas.
No,
I shook my head.
This was a baby.
There were three other babies, too. I was in a different part of the dungeon, but I did see the dragon I was in my dream. He was being transported somewhere.
Did you see anything at all that could help us get into the king's dungeon?
No.
I frowned. I tried to look around, but the baby dragon I was in was incredibly panicked and hungry. My stomach growled as I said it, and I looked down and frowned harder. I could fill my own belly, but the little dragon wouldn't be able to.
Maybe that's why it overtook you so. If the dragon was panicked, it could have called to you unintentionally. Asta's right.
Kaas nodded.
The poor thing was probably calling out for help, and your powers answered him in some way.
Oh, we've got to get them out of there, I growled as I ground my teeth together.
We will,
Kaas assured me, and she placed her hand on my shoulder.
Let's get home for now. We'll figure out what to do.
All right,
I agreed, and I stood up and dusted myself off. Blah flew up onto my shoulder and nuzzled my cheek, so I reached up and scratched behind his ear. Then he closed his eyes, and a portal appeared just in front of us. We wound up back in Asgard, near the river that ran past our home. It was only a 10-minute walk or so to get to the cottage, but it felt like forever, and everyone was quiet as we took in what had just happened. I knew the girls couldn't possibly understand what I'd experienced, but they knew it had been unsettling. The whole situation was unsettling, to say the least, and it was up to us to fix it.
So, what's our plan?
Asta asked, with a determined look after we arrived home and sat by the fire.
I'm not sure.
I sighed and ran a hand across the shaved portion of my head.
We need to get those dragons out of there, but we can't outright attack the Elf King and start a war with the elves.
Yes.
Kaas nodded.
I'm not sure how we can get them out without the Elf King knowing. We don't exactly know our way around the castle, and if we tried to free them and got caught, it could be very bad.
Even if we defeated the Elf King and everyone thought we were elves, that would still mean the dealers would know someone was after them.
Perhaps we should discuss this with Prayna? You may be right. It would be nice to know exactly where the council would stand on this issue.
I knew Prayna, Bea, and Rinbar would do whatever they personally could to stop the dragon trade, but I didn't think there was anything they could do as council members. Odin had made his stance on dragons painfully clear, and if he found out they disobeyed him, he would no doubt have their heads for it. Or send them to Helheim, like he had his trusted advisor, who tried to free the dragons when he'd intended to banish them. One day I'd tell Odin what I thought about him. But for the moment, I had to focus on the dragons and their well-being. Okay, I nodded. Let's go talk to Prayna. Maybe she has some input on what we can do.
It won't be dark for a few hours still. Should we go now?
I think so. I agreed. Even if Prayna and the council couldn't endorse us attacking the Elf King, it was possible that, as a council member, she might have some useful information for us. Asta's homeworld did business through the Bifrost quite often, and since Odin and the Elf King had a treaty and business deal, Prayna might know him well enough to be able to give us some insight into what he was like. I was particularly curious to know how his citizens felt about him, and how they might react if, well, he were to go missing. Either way, I wanted Prayna to know what we were doing. The last time I'd seen the blonde sorceress, she'd been dressed in her party clothes, and she looked like a painting come to life. I couldn't wait to lay my eyes on her again, even if she wasn't in an extravagant dress. The girls and I didn't bother to pack anything to eat or change our clothes. We were all eager to go see Prayna and find out what she had to say on the matter at hand. So we just set out with the clothes on our backs and the dragons. The walk into town seemed to take longer than usual, as I stared up at the bright blue sky and thought about the little dragon in the king's dungeon. What was he doing with all those eggs? It made me think of the council and how they'd found eggs over the years and saved them. Nobody could hatch them until I came along, but they were using them for research. What kind of research could the Elf King be doing? Whatever it was, I was sure it wasn't good. I wasn't well versed in the ways of the elves, but it seemed odd to me the Elf King would want to keep dragons in his castle. Not only for the obvious reasons, but also because he lived in a realm full of dragons, and while they might not bow to him the way his citizens did, I was sure they knew exactly who he was. Dragons were highly intelligent, and they lived for an extremely long time if well taken care of. The dragons definitely knew who the Elf King was. The question was, did they know he was the one recruiting people to take their children? I doubted they did. If that was the case, the castle probably wouldn't be standing anymore. Bla, Inga, and Ufe walked in front of the girls and I as we made our way through the market and toward the castle. I noticed we got some strange looks this time, but I figured it was most likely due to our dirty appearances. We'd just come from a fight, after all, and we had some dirt and blood on us we hadn't bothered to clean up. Once we arrived at the castle, we made our way up to the council building. Usually there were a couple of guards out front who opened the door for us, but this time there was nobody. I found the lack of guards unnerving, so I gripped the hilt of my sword as my eyes narrowed. "Get behind me," I told the girls, and they nodded and complied. I wasn't sure what was going on, but I wasn't about to take any chances. I carefully opened the door, and a sliver of light shone on the dark, empty room. The three chairs at the end of the hall were void of their usual occupants, and I didn't see a single soul in the whole place. "Hello?" I called out, curious as to why the place was empty.
"Nobody's here."
"This is odd." I pushed the door open farther and walked in.
"Prayna! Bea! Rinbar! Hello? Is anyone here?"
I waited a second, but I didn't hear anything.
"What's going on?"
Cass asked, and her concerned violet eyes darted around the empty hall.
"Did I hear someone calling me?"
Prayna's voice came from behind the thrones, and I looked around to find her. The blonde sorceress appeared a second later. She came through a small door to the right of the chairs and appeared to be in a hurry, but when she saw me, she stopped cold in her tracks.
"Oh,"
she said softly, and her cheeks went red.
"Rath, I wasn't expecting you."
"Where is everyone?" I asked, and I kept my hand tightly on the hilt of my blade. I wasn't about to let go until I knew everything was all right.
"Oh, Bear went with Rimbar on some trip to the other side of Asgard and took most of the guards with him for protection,"
Prayna said with a wave of her hand.
"It's just me here today. Only not many people have shown up. I was just in the other room having some tea. Would you all care to join me? Tea sounds lovely."
Asta smiled brightly and bounded toward the door.
"It's good to see."
Prayna's voice trailed off as she looked me up and down, and her blonde eyebrows pinched together with concern.
"What happened? Are you all right?"
"Oh, that's actually why we came to talk to you. We just came from Alfheim, Asta's homeworld."
"You were in a fight?"
It wasn't a question, but an observation. The council member looked at my women as well, and a frown settled on her plump lips.
"You all look worse for the wear. I'm presuming you won, though?"
"Of course."
"All right."
Prayna nodded.
"There's a washroom back there. You all clean up while I get some tea ready for us."
"Thank you." I smiled at the beautiful sorceress. Prayna led us into a large sitting room. There were two couches near a raging fireplace, and a large wooden desk sat to the right. On the far wall was another door, and she pointed to it and told us to wash up. The girls and I went into the large washroom and cleaned our hands and faces. I hadn't thought about it, but the council member was right. We were filthier than I'd expected. Also, Kaas hadn't taken the spell off to disguise our ears, which explained the strange looks we'd received when we walked through the marketplace earlier. After we'd washed up, we headed back to the sitting room and took seats on the couches. The little dragons were already sitting with Prayna and happily devouring little pumpkin cakes. Bla was in her lap with a treat between his front paws, and Inga was right next to him, while Ufe sat a couple feet away as he slowly savored his sweet.
"Now,"
Prayna said once we were seated,
"what is it you need to discuss with me?"
The glow of the afternoon sun flooded into the room from a skylight above our heads, and I couldn't help but stare at Prayna for a moment in the light. The blonde sorceress was absolutely gorgeous, and she looked even better with my dragon strewn across her lap. Her long blonde hair hung down around her shoulders, and the length of it settled on the couch next to her. She wore a deep red tunic with short sleeves that hung off her shoulders, and a long slit ran up one side so I could see her slender legs. Her light brown eyes regarded me coolly, but her chest rose and fell quickly, and her cheeks flushed with color when she saw me looking at her. "We're here about the dragon trade."
"That's why you are in Alfheim?"
the sorceress asked, and her face grew serious as she quickly collected herself. Yes, I nodded. "We went there to see if we could find some of the smaller dealers."
"That must have been dangerous."
Perena's eyes scanned me for injuries.
"You completed the quest with whales?"
"I did. And now I can see through the eyes of other dragons."
"That's how we knew to go to my homeworld,"
Asta said over her teacup.
"What an extraordinary gift."
"It is," I nodded.
"What did you see that sent you to Alfheim?"
"I saw a dragon in a cell. Asta confirmed the cell was in the dungeon of the Elf King."
"Oh, I'm not surprised. I should have known Alsin had his greedy hands in that business. What makes you say that?"
Kaas asked, and her head cocked to the side quizzically.
"Do you know him? I've met him several times when he's come to do business with Odin."
Prayna nodded.
"He's a smug, arrogant man, and I've never liked him. Did he do something in particular to make you think he would be involved with the dragon trade?" "I never expected that of him, but I'm not surprised."
Prayna shook her head.
"I knew he was greedy and horrible, but I didn't think he was quite that bad. I've never heard him mention anything about the dragons, but he's always trying to broker new deals and get more and more coins. He's greedy. He has more than just the one."
Asta added, and her dainty fingers tightened around her cup.
"Rath saw more dragons in there. Babies. Oh, those poor things."
Prayna's lips tightened, and she petted Bla and Inga a little more vigorously.
"What can I do to help?"
"We were hoping to talk to you about Asgard's dealings with the Elf King."
"You want to free the dragons from his castle?"
Prayna closed her eyes and nodded.
"Unfortunately, the council cannot condone such actions, of course. Odin and Asgard as a whole has a treaty with the elves of Alfheim. There is to be no war between us on either soil." "Do you think Odin knows of the king's dealings with dragons?" "I'm not sure."
The blonde sorceress shook her head.
"But even if he did, I doubt that would change his mind in any way. There is too much at stake here. The elves of Alfheim supply the kingdom with a great deal of magical weapons, as well as plenty of other goods. It has only been in the last 100 years the two worlds have made peace. Odin would not be happy to lose such a hard-to-gain ally."
Right.
"We can't just leave them there."
Asta frowned and set her teacup back on the table.
"Absolutely not. But it would be foolish to attack him outright. I'm sure his castle is a fortress much like Odin's. It is well protected."
Asta looked down, and I thought about how awful her time in the Elf King's dungeon must have been.
"Besides, if you were to free the dragons without killing the Elf King, then he would just find more. He is the king, after all."
Those were my thoughts as well. I nodded. "But if we kill the Elf King, then it could start a war between our two worlds."
"It almost certainly would."
Prayna frowned.
"I'm afraid for the time being you'll have to find some other dragons to free. It's not feasible to attack the Elf King right now."
Asta hung her head, but Prayna reached across the table and firmly gripped the elf girl's hand.
"That is not to say we will not punish him for what he's done. When the time is right, the Elf King will suffer for his crimes against the dragons. Right.
Asta smiled weakly and squeezed Prena's hand.
I suggest you continue to look for smaller dragon dealers.
Prena said, and she leveled her gaze at me.
You most likely will want to do some reconnaissance in the area. Try and find out where the king gets these dragons from. I also suggest you keep those ears on while on your quests. That way, if you need to kill anyone else, it won't reflect poorly on Asgard. I forgot we had them on.
Kaas chuckled and pulled out her spellbook so she could remove the ears.
They fit you well.
Prena smiled and looked me up and down. I could see the hunger in her eyes, and I knew it was in mine as well.
We can go back tonight and stay there.
Kaas suggested after she'd removed our ears.
Huayra, your old warband leader, was here just earlier.
Prena smiled.
You might consider asking her to assist you with your mission. The woman is quite powerful, and the council has recruited her many times to retrieve eggs for us. She is trustworthy. She's beautiful, too. She had dinner with us last night. Oh, did she?
Prena asked coolly, but I could see her chest rise and fall a bit faster than it had been.
Wrath, you haven't invited me to your home yet.
The beautiful blonde sorceress looked at me with narrowed eyes and slightly pursed lips. She was a council member, though, and I doubted she'd want to see the small cottage where we lived. Her room in the castle was larger than our entire home, so I hadn't even considered inviting her over. Of course, you're welcome to come to our home whenever you please.
I will hold you to that promise.
Prena smiled playfully as she eyed me up and down once more.
Do you know where we might be able to find Ira? It would be nice to have her accompany us. Both you and Wrath speak of her so highly. Yes.
Asta agreed, and her yellow eyes sparkled.
When she accompanied us to Jotunheim, we saw she was an excellent fighter. Oh, she is far more than that. She's clever as well, and that is the deadliest combination there is. Ira is most likely at one of the pubs in town. She said something about getting a pint.
I have an idea of where she might be, then, I said. There was a pub in town where all the warband men went after a good fight. It was usually packed with soldiers, even if there hadn't been a fight that day. I'd only gone a couple of times, but I'd seen Ira there before, and I suspected that was probably somewhere she felt welcomed and respected, considering her role as a warband leader.
We should get going if we want to get back to Alfheim tonight.
Yes, it's going to be dark within an hour or two.
Would you all like me to get a carriage for you?
Oh, that's not necessary. I smiled at the council member. The bars aren't too far from here, and we can walk home. I'm sure it will be a nice night.
Ugh, allow me to send you with some extra treats for the dragons, then.
She said. But when she picked up the tin from the cushion next to her, she realized it was empty. Then the sorceress laughed when she looked down and saw Bla, Inga, and Ufe all sprawled out across her lap with round little bellies. Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention to them while we were talking.
Oh, that's quite all right.
Prena laughed and petted the little dragons.
They are sweet, and they deserve something as sweet as they are.
Oh, they're rude, I joked, and Bla half opened an eye to look at me. What do you tell Prena? The little blue dragon slowly rolled over and sluggishly placed his front paws on Prena's shoulder so he could nuzzle his face against hers.
You're very welcome.
Inga nuzzled Prena's face as well, but Ufe opted to gently place his head on her hand instead. After a moment more of nuzzling, Prena led us out to the doors we'd come in.
Please inform me of any new information you receive. However I can be of assistance, all you must do is ask.
I appreciate your help. I smiled.
Yes, well, we'll appreciate you too.
Prena's lips parted slightly as her brown eyes locked onto mine. I could sense her want for me, and I smiled back at her. Thank you, again, I said after a long, tense moment, and I tore my eyes away from her, bowed my neck slightly, and headed through the door. I needed to get away from her, and quickly. Just the sight of the beautiful council member was enough to drive me wild with lust, and I knew she felt the same way. But there was still more work to be done. We needed to find Ira. I led the girls down the white steps of the castle, out the gate, and into the street. The afternoon sun made its way to the trees, and it dipped just below the horizon as we walked. It was only half an hour's walk into town, but it was nearly dusk by the time we arrived at the large pub. The place was made of grey stone, and it had a dark brown wooden door with the words "Bymyth's Mead and Things" etched on it. I'd met the infamous Bymyth both times I'd been there. He was a short, stout man with bright red hair and the most monstrous beard I'd ever seen. He was always behind the bar, and I had to admire his work ethic. The pub was plenty popular, so I had no doubt he could afford to hire someone else to work there, but he seemed to truly enjoy what he did. I wasn't sure if I should have Cass and Asta wait outside or come in. The pub was usually crowded with warband men trying to show off, so it wasn't a great place for two beautiful women. And then again, they were probably safer with me than on their own. I opened the door, and immediately my ears were overwhelmed with the noises of the bar. Men hollered and laughed and slammed their mugs on the tables, and a small group played instruments in the corner while patrons yelled at Bymyth behind the bar. I glanced around quickly and found Ira at the bar with a half-empty pint of mead in front of her. The beautiful redhead had on a short green tunic, knee-high boots, and her sword on her hip. Oh, she looked as sexy as ever, and I thought about our kiss the night before. Her lips had barely touched mine when we'd been interrupted, and I remembered how soft they were, and how sweet she'd tasted. Just the thought of our interaction made my stomach tighten with anticipation. I wanted to kiss her again, and I wanted to do it right then.
There she is.
Asta smiled and bounded over to the redhead.
Hira! Asta!
The redhead chuckled before she glanced past the elf girl, and her eyes landed on me.
Rat.
Bla, Inga, and Ufe ran over to the bar stool, and Ira leaned down to give them each pats. I was hoping we would find you here.
Oh?
She asked with a raised eyebrow, and then she took a swig of her mead.
You were looking for me, were you?
I was. I swallowed and tried to quell the desire that flared up inside me. Prana told us you were at one of the bars in town. She suggested we ask you to accompany us on a mission.
And what mission might that be?
The redhead asked with a smile.
We're going to Alfheim, my homeworld. We need to look for dragon dealers.
Cass said quietly, and her eyes darted around to make sure no one was eavesdropping.
Prana said you might be able to assist us. Oh, you're looking for dealers, huh?
Ira nodded.
I'm in. Oh, great!
Asta jumped up and down and clapped her hands.
On one condition.
The warband leader grinned. What's that?
You have to buy me a drink.
Ira said, and she downed the remainder of her pint.
I seem to be out of mead.
I think I can manage that.
We'll leave you two alone then.
Cass grabbed Asta's hand.
Come on, Asta. See you two at home.
Inga and Ufe followed the girls, but Blar tried to climb up into Ira's lap.
Blar!
Cass yelled over the men in the bar, and the little blue dragon looked at me with pleading eyes. I think you'd better go, buddy. I told him with a smile. I'll be home soon. Protect the girls for me? Blar huffed, rolled his eyes, licked Ira's hand goodbye, and started slowly toward the door.
Hurry your little butt up!
Cass commanded playfully, and I saw Blah deliberately walk even slower.
So?
Ira said as I turned back toward her.
We're alone again. Whatever shall we do?
The redhead's green eyes smoldered as she stared at me, with both playfulness and lust written on her face. And I pulled out my coin sack and set 5 copper pieces on the bar.
Bymyth!
I said with a grin, but my eyes didn't leave Iris.
We're going to need a round over here.